So anyway, okay, let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares. Kitchen Nightmares is back, and they started off...
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah, they started off the first episode with Gordon Ramsay returning to the old restaurants, which I was like, cool, that's a cool idea, because, you know, they did it on the British series, and I'm curious to what they did, except...
Yeah.
You have to watch pretty much the entire sequence from last season when he went to each of those restaurants over again to catch us up on it, which is fine.
It's like 2 hours to get through six restaurants.
What's worse, Bill, is that they would recap everything, then say, Gordon will return to the restaurant. Will it be bad? Will it be a new nightmare? And the show's like, let me look in here, and like, dun-dun-dun, like, what's going to happen? Then they go to commercial, they come back, they recap everything over again. Then he goes to the restaurant, and everything's great. They listen to him. They're making a lot of money. Everyone's happy. Everything's fantastic.
Well, you know, he's proved
the
this time again that if,
did cover.
That if they, you know, everything he did for them always worked. It's like, why would you not continue to follow?
Yeah, and so then he goes to the next restaurant, and they do the whole recap, go to commercial, come back, recap it again. Then he visits. Really, I was trying to find a clip for the show. There's nothing. There's nothing there.
No, yeah.
And the
there's one big slap on the back, like, hey, you listen to me, you're successful. Well, congratulations.
You know, I was glad to see these people were successful. It was great.
Yeah, it was good to see that, you know, that they're still working.
The crazy Guido Peter at the end. Did you notice that Gordon didn't go back to his restaurant?
Yeah, I don't blame him.
It was just interviewing them of how things were successful, but Gordon didn't visit.
I wanted to know what happened to the Diamonds on My Fish.
Yeah.
And the other guy that had the place in L.A., they shut down, didn't they?
Yeah, that one shut down.
At the end of that episode, it said, and there was another one where the guy's mom was making him run the restaurant and he hated it. And they said that he just sold the restaurant.
Okay, yeah.
So, but I was, you know, really like curious of what was going to happen, but they really just totally did what they do on the show, which is go overboard on the flashbacks.
You know, if they actually would go and follow the British way they do it,
which they're never going to do.
They'll never do, you know.
But the
production company is so, you know, obsessed with overproducing the thing that it will never be like that. I mean, there's no music or sound effects in the British version.
They even have, at the very end of this episode, I noticed they had a little, I wish I would have read it better, but it said that sequences are sometimes edited out of order than which they actually happened.
Yeah.
They have to say that because then a lot of times they'll show a reaction of somebody, like, you know, the patrons looking, like when somebody's yelling, like, what was that sound? And, you know, it's totally fake. So they have to put a tagline on there saying that that happened. But the most interesting thing about this show was that they showed a preview to the season of Kitchen Nightmares. What's going to happen? And I have that. Let's check that out.
This season on Kitchen Nightmares, Chef Ramsay is taking on even bigger challenges.
Here we go, let's go.
Traveling.
Okay, here we are.
To some of America's most disorganized.
How can you guys run a business like this?
It's madness.
Most disgraceful.
How can you expect food if you cook it in this? It's disgusting.
And most dangerous restaurants yet.
We got more cockroaches than customers.
I feel like it can't get any worse than it is now.
I'm so sorry. I'm closing the place down.
How can you revive a place that looks this bad?
I'm here to make this place work.
Now he's determined to bring them back from the brink of disaster.
Chris, it's chicken against raw chicken.
You gotta kill someone.
Under the most dire of circumstances.
We're losing our houses. We're losing our lives. Yeah. We're losing our everything.
This is my last resort.
My wife and I have spent our savings, our 401ks.
While some welcome his help,
I'm happy to see a smaller menu. I'm happy to see better food.
Others prove resistant.
Don't start with
me. Sure, put your hands in front of you.
I can't believe you're telling my food sucks. You're out of your mind.
I wouldn't talk to my dog the way you talk to me. Go
shut the hell with everything. I'll make it work without his help.
Watch as Chef Ramsay attempts to turn America's kitchen nightmares.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the glass to start breaking.
Into dreams.
It's more than I'd ever expected. It's a total fresh start.
I'm here to help. I am not giving up.
And every season they got the one guy. I'm not going to do what he tells me. Yeah. And then 10 minutes later, oh, okay, dude, I was an asshole.
You were right. I'm glad you put my ego in check, Gordon.
Thanks, man. So we'll be talking about Kitchen Nightmares every week. All right. Should we get into Kitchen Nightmares a little bit?
Sure.
The funniest show on television, at least this week.
I love the Kitchen Nightmares. And let's see, what was the place called? The Handlebar?
The Handlebar.
Okay, I try not to judge, but these people, oh my God.
Can you say white trash?
You know, the woman reminded me of our old manager, Terry, a bit. She looked a little, like, worse for wear, 100 miles of rough road, whatever you want to say.
Road hard and put away wet.
Yeah, all of that.
And more than once.
You have the husband who looks like he's been smoking way too many cigarettes in his lifetime.
Wishes he was the Marlboro Man so bad. Yeah.
And his handlebar.
He had the killer mullet and the bad red marks on his nose from wearing the sunglasses all the time.
Don't you know that he just reeks like an ashtray wherever he goes?
Oh,
he
totally does.
And I just love the way he just constantly talking to himself. Nobody talk to me.
Here's what I love. Okay, first of all, let's start out like this. The chef, when they go to this place, you know, Gordon Ramsay always tries the food or whatever. The chef is like, I don't even want to be a chef. I don't like this. You know, I don't like the food or whatever. And I love, here's a clip here where Gordon Ramsay kind of talks to her, and she just starts talking. It's kind of like, what? Let's check it out.
When the fondue arrived, I mean, that's just a joke.
I don't enjoy the fondue either.
But you're the chef, aren't you? You're the one that's, you know, you're running it as the head chef, right?
That's the intent.
So, change it.
I don't know. What to do about it?
Have you lost your passion?
I never had a passion to begin with. I don't want to be a chef.
I was really shocked that that's the way she felt.
So you're not a chef?
No.
I had applications for the job here as a chef. When she approached me and said, would you give me the opportunity? I mean, you don't ask for that opportunity if you don't care what you're doing.
Why did you take the job, Melissa, if you're not a chef?
The other guy was going out and I was here.
Okay.
Fire her on the spot.
That as I'm finding out minute by minute.
Wow. You know,
the only people who seemed to care about it were the woman, the co-owner of the bar, and the wait staff.
Yeah. What I didn't understand is never through the episode, I figured that Gordon Ramsay was going to sit down with the chef and give her a passion. It was just like he never spent the time to do that. Weren't you expecting that? Like, okay, what's your story here? And gave her a reason to get excited again. It was like all of a sudden, like, I'm excited about my job again. It's like, no, you're not. You're just on the game with
that. Yeah, she, that and the fact that there was no real change to the place. I mean, some slight decor changes, but he made the wait staff clean the fridge.
Yeah.
It's like no steam clean group or anything
came in. I don't think he made
in.
Them. They decided they went in there and cleaned it kind of on their own.
And then the girl went out and had a cigarette and hawked a friggin' oyster of a loogie across the parking lot.
I love the women who spit.
I mean, that was quite possibly one of the most disgusting and funniest moments I've ever seen on television.
It was pretty nasty. But they didn't even change the decor outside, the bad handlebar sign. But
oh,
I mean, they did make
the
inside
with
look
the wood
nice.
Paneling.
What was it with the weird part where? Okay, well, let me not get there yet. I was going to talk about the customers turning on each other. But
yeah, why did they even throw that in there?
Don't talk to my parents that way.
Talk to my parents that way, lady.
But here's when their first dinner service goes bad, and he decides to tell the owner, and he's like, "That's not that bad."
Billy, customers are complaining about the food. You can't walk around oblivious to the fact that you think this is good.
Yeah, but it's not bad in everybody's opinion.
It's like, what?
You can't take care of everybody's taste buds. Something that some people like, other people aren't going to like that at all. No one's got any...
That's right. It's subjective.
Control.
Flavor is subjective.
Basics here that have become completely
wrong.
If you accept it, everybody else has accepted it. And truthfully, you've accepted it.
Oh, absolutely not. I was kind of really disappointed. I knew we needed help. I didn't think we were that bad. I was quite skeptical about his intentions. Whatever.
What the hell do you think he's there for, dude?
Yeah. Just like him.
When was the last time that fridge was steam cleaned?
I had the kid in there doing it last week.
Did you check what he'd done?
No, obviously not.
So why can't you act like a man and do something about it?
Yep. My God. No. I just don't even know what to say anymore. He just keeps tearing apart everything that wasn't done and not giving me credit or pat on the back to things that were done.
Ah! Unbelievable. So that just proves and confirms how weak this guy is. He's not running this place. This place is running him and is in need of a serious clean. That is appalling.
Sake, I want to hand it to you. Your place is going down the shitter, but you really did a nice job cleaning this rack over here. You know?
What does he expect to be complimented on?
I have no idea.
Honestly, he's been there for one day. The place is a disaster, and Gordon Ramsay's supposed to go, it was Gordon Ramsay's fault because he said that the soup was good. Whenever he tried it, he was like, this is good soup.
There's a part where he's sitting there tasting things, and the wife is at the bar. She's like, oh, my God, like hiding her eyes. Do they not know that he's there to improve their restaurant? Like,
yeah, it's whatever he says, like, dude, okay, I'm
it's
open.
Like, here's what's
talk
wrong.
Me,
the food sucks.
Okay.
Your chef sucks.
What do we do to fix this?
Yeah, but instead it's like, no, my food's pretty good. You just don't like it. Taste is subjective. It's like, who are you trying to fool, buddy?
You know what? I would have even maybe agreed with the guy if he said taste is subjective.
Yeah, what did he say? It's like,
he doesn't even have the vocabulary for
like,
that. He says, well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, it's good for somebody. It's not good for another person. What was that weird crepe, seafood crepe thing?
Oh,
who the hell would order that?
Yeah, it was like something right out of the menu at Chi Chi's.
Like, and I like that it was like the fake crab.
Yeah, I'd like a fried fish fillet and wrap a pancake around it.
Yeah. You know what it was? It wasn't even a crepe. It was a flour tortilla.
Or he goes, crepe, more like crap. I was like, that was too easy, Gordon. Come on, you can do better than that.
Yeah, but when it's so easy, it's just you have to go there.
I love it.
That is appalling.
I know.
And then
when he stuck his finger into that clam, and it looked like he pulled like cud, like cow chewed
cud. I was
cud.
Eating lunch at that part, and I turned around, and I could just hear him talking about it, and it was still making me sick. Yeah. Just because I was imagining, he's like, oh, look at that. Look at me put my hand in this crap and squeeze it. Look at this.
I know. Does he have to do that?
What is he sticks his hand in anything
hand
and holds it to
it.
The camera.
Did you notice that he cut his hand whenever he was, like, pulling that greasy shit out of the fryer? Because it was bleeding all the way down his arm.
Oh, did you love
I would have ran for a tetanus shot.
They ran out of vegetables, so she gave him like frozen
radishes.
Oh, and then the broccoli stalks. Chopped up broccoli.
Chopped up broccoli.
They had fresh broccoli in the refrigerator, but she gave them radishes.
Yeah, he's like, did you know you had this last night? You had fresh broccoli right here. She's like,
I can't know everything.
What am I supposed to do? It's like I would have fired her instantly.
It's nothing I like more with a steak than some radishes.
Yeah, he goes, so what do you think of the radishes? Says, honestly, I don't want this for my steak. When I think of steak, I want vegetables. And I was like, when I think of steak, I think fries. Fries and ketchup.
Fries or taters.
I'm high class. Give me a shot of whiskey.
Oh, and then they mix the leftover baked potatoes with the powdered potatoes.
Yeah.
To make them go further.
Let's not forget about the best part. Special guest, Dee Snider.
I started howling when that happened.
When he rode in on the motorcycle, I was thinking about, like, exhaust in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, no. And I was like, dude, we're eating here. Get your friggin' motor. You can, and I love he goes, you can bid on this bike at the Handlebar website. And it's like, dude, what's the URL, all right?
Yeah.
Handlebar.com.
he always just looks greasy.
He
always looks like
Snyder hair and filthy. My food, thank you. Gross. And there's a part where there's just a cutaway of him saying, this is a great menu. It's like, hey, who fed you that line?
Hell, D. Snyder says it. It must be good.
It's like, damn, Twisted
when
Sister.
When I think good
it.
Food, I think D. Snyder.
Exactly.
And then to that motorcycle ride, hey, I've been watching Sons of Anarchy. I don't want them making my food, all right? They'll probably put dead Mexican in it. You'd have to watch the show to know what I'm talking about. It wasn't racist, I swear.
Mexicans.
All right.
You know what? Good thing Elizabeth Hasselbeck doesn't listen to this show.
That is appalling.
Very offensive.
I'm very offended by all of this. Lady.
It's absurd. It's totally absurd.
I know. Now, did you guys watch Kitchen Nightmares?
Yes.
Did you check it out? I'm going to just go ahead and say this. This is the worst episode of Kitchen Nightmares there has ever been. Am I right? It seemed rushed. It seemed like it ends abruptly with no resolution.
Yeah, exactly. I was like going,
and
was
Gordon
it
turns into Dr. Phil halfway
through. And the restaurant is called Giuseppe's. Hey, it's a Giuseppe's. I love that.
And it's
name.
Next to Wang Wong.
Wing Wong's. Bill and I kept mentioning, I was like, dude, I want to eat at that place next door, at Chinese place. Go get some wings or Wing Wong's.
It's a
Wing Wong's, yeah.
It's a hairstyle place, Bill.
No,
I was teasing.
What are you talking about?
Y'all were like both going, what? Really?
No, there's an electric tan next door, so you can get a tan there, and maybe they do hair, and then go into Wing Wong's and get some sesame chicken and avoid Giuseppe's altogether.
No, at Giuseppe's, it's a father-son thing, and the mom and the dad won't get the hell out of the kitchen while the son is trying to win his love over.
And he's got the diabetes.
Yeah, he mentioned the diabetes quite often. But here's this part where there was a steak that went back and forth in the kitchen like how many times? Do you guys remember that? They're like, we need it well done. And it kept going. Listen to this part right here, this exchange. I wouldn't eat here ever again after this exchange.
I wouldn't even wipe my ass with it.
There's towels right there.
Towel down here.
Yo, did not like...
What the hell?
How's that steak on that redo?
You want me to cook it? It doesn't come out of my ass, okay?
All right. I hope it doesn't come out of your ass.
Yeah, that's not a good advertisement.
The fact that somebody was talking about meat in their ass.
I don't think this will be a revisited next year.
What the hell? Do you think they have a dramatic enough commercial break explosion with knives and forks and shit?
It was the same way with whenever the one helper chef left and they added in the screeching tires.
Listen to this. I mean, serious, do we need this much racket?
Everybody dropping their plates and forks.
Okay, here's what I want to say about the show. Okay, in this clip, the music is so overdone, overproduced in the show. We've talked about this before. But listen to every single word uttered has a sound effect to it in this clip. It's just everything has this...
a punctuation
point. Yeah, a punctuation mark on everything said. Just listen to how ridiculous this is.
I've never seen so much food go in a microwave in all my life. It's like no one's striving to be better. You tell me how you feel about the frozen food.
I hate it. I'm embarrassed to say it's my food.
Why don't you tell Dad that you want to cook fresh?
Dad, I want to cook fresh. I want to cook fresh.
There's that is Sam Ford Pinto sound.
He likes to cook.
Family,
I don't want my children
freaking therapy with Gordon Ramsay.
What the hell?
That is bad. That's really there's way too much cymbal and drum and
everything.
Keyboard and fake violin.
You know what?
I wouldn't even wipe my ass with it.
Yeah, me neither. Ooh. I wouldn't wipe my ass with that clip.
I should go online and see if Giuseppe's is still in business.
Well, okay, first of all, this episode, I assume the kitchen was fine, that he didn't go in and, you know...
Tear it apart.
Look at that! It's all dirty! It didn't do any of that. In fact, the ones...
Didn't remodel it.
Yeah, no, they remodeled it, the outside, remember?
Yeah.
Well, the sous chef,
the outside, but the interior.
Yeah, out of nowhere, the sous chef has like, or I guess that's who he was, the part time chef. They're having problems at the main. You know, he changes the menu. Two specials that he has them come up with. Big deal, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so, they both look not particularly appetizing.
He was like, "Guess what? They're both going to be on the menu."
This is my pork chop stuffed with scallops.
Out of nowhere, the other guy in the kitchen starts getting pissed off at Gordon Ramsay when he's yelling at him, "Let's check this out." It didn't make any sense to me.
All I want to do is cut the around and just concentrate a little bit. Because if you concentrate, won't come back raw. Just quit the around, you'll see a difference in the standard. Come on, guys. I know we can do better.
Yeah, we can do better.
Oh, come on, concentrate.
Yes, chef.
Who that?
It's stone cold and raw.
You know whose fault all this is tonight? It's his.
The people are done eating and she hasn't got her dinner.
I haven't even gotten my fruit yet. I want to leave.
You know who I blame? I blame all this on you.
Holy shit, could that be even... I blame all this on you. The whole shit restaurant blows.
That was his internal music. Like, what do I want?
Chef Ramsay giving us a hand. And now you're going to turn around and basically spit in his face and say, it's your fault that I suck? That's horrible. I feel sorry for the man.
Just got to slow down, stop being a goofball, throwing food out there.
Good, great.
Nothing
thanks.
Complicated.
Outstanding.
Good man.
Good man.
Get back in your truck. Coming to me looking for excuses.
Excuses? I got no excuses.
You just said you blamed me.
On
this when I first arrived.
That's cool. Thanks, chef.
Huh? What a idiot. Supposed to be in this together, right? Cement mixer. This
guy's a pain in the ass.
Where's Brian?
He's out of there.
Oh, there's the pot and pans again. Oh, everything blew up.
He drove right into the pots and pans.
What? I'd love that. Let's play that again with the... Okay, it's like Lost or something. Something just happened. Like, they discovered what Dharma's all about or something. It's like,
you know what?
Oh,
my
gosh.
On you.
It's like, what the hell? And then at the end, you know, he has them write letters about each other. He's like... Dad, I really love you. I just wish you'd say you appreciated me. And his dad, he's
because
like...
Because I'm needy.
I think you're ready to run... you're ready to run the restaurant, and I love you. And they hug. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
They usually do, like, 1 month later, the restaurant is still doing well. They're doing...
Probably not.
They're doing community projects, and now the dad has on health insurance, which he couldn't afford before. They didn't do any of that. It just went to
and
credit.
And he's dealing with his diabetes.
Yeah.
Wilford Brimley.
He keeps talking about his diabetes. I got the diabetes. You know, what did he say? His mom and his brother died of diabetes, and the guy doesn't have health insurance? Because he can't afford it? What?
Their feet fell off. I couldn't believe it.
That didn't make any sense at all.
Their feet fell off.
But seriously, I mean, the first episode seemed kind of rushed, too. And
yeah.
The second one seems like it was even more rushed. What's the third episode going to be like?
I think Gordon Ramsay just wants to get the hell out of the United States, and I don't blame him. I really don't.
But, I mean, I don't know. I got nothing. All I was just like, huh? It's over? Didn't you feel that way too when it ended?
Yes.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, I was like going, is that, you know, and I kept waiting, is that it?
They just had the guy that you never saw previously that he blamed for.
You know who I blame? I blame all this on you.
Like, what?
Doesn't come out of my ass, okay?
Yeah, it can't come
out of my ass.
It's like, hey, that steak didn't come out of my ass, right? No, sir, you know, yeah, your dinner's ready. He's like, hey,
no,
it's coming
out
of my
ass.
So what's
ass.
The matter you?
I won't even wipe my
no respect.
Ass.
You don't like the food, you go to Wing Wogs next door, or whatever the hell that place is called.
Go to Wing Wogs, you get you a nice fried rice.
You know, screw that, I'm not going there, I'm going to McDonald's.
Get you some
I'm going to the electric pan.
Oh, yeah. Now, Kitchen Nightmares, there were two episodes, and the first one was like this punk Italian kid who had his own restaurant, totally invested by his, was it his fiance or just his girlfriend?
His fiance.
It was his girlfriend, almost fiance.
He was stringing her along, basically, for a long
time. She was cute, too.
And, her parents had invested their life savings into this guy. They must have thought he was really talented.
And then some.
But he was, they were in debt. Their house was on the line. And he was a real shithead. And I thought this episode was kind of like, there wasn't much to it.
That's what
honestly.
As we were saying earlier, that it's like, he realized, like, it seemed like almost right at the beginning of the show, I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
You know.
Because they have kind of this fallout, and he goes, come here, look at this kitchen. Look how gross that is. We're going to go clean this. And he's like, no, honestly, you know, I'm an asshole or whatever. You know, Gordon Ramsay, we don't need you or whatever. And Gordon Ramsay's like, I'm done, and he walks out. The kid, for some reason, decides to walk out there and goes, all right, let's talk this out. And everything's straightened out, like, miraculously.
Yeah. It's like, all right, I'm an asshole. I'm just not that big of an asshole.
And he's like, I realize that, and he goes, you know what, I understand you're under a lot of pressure because this is not your ass on the line. It's your future wife's parents' ass on the line, their home, all their money, but you need to take this more seriously and all that, so... You know, anyway, they have a service. Everything seems fine. I mean, really, there wasn't a lot of conflict, I guess you would say.
No.
They got that all out. But I do think the dude had one of the strangest-looking hairlines I've seen on a person.
Yeah.
It's just really weird. But anyway.
That straight across, it was just like...
it's just weird-looking, you know? It's kind of like Jamie Foxx has a weird-ass-looking hairline, too. That weird, like, it's real down low in the middle of your forehead kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway... Gordon Ramsay is like, there's one last thing you need to do. And he has a ring. And he goes, you need to go propose to her. And he's like, oh, Gordon Ramsay, that's great or whatever.
Here's this platinum band.
That's the only thing missing. You've been stringing her along. You need to make things right. So he goes in there and he proposes. Everyone's crying. He goes, guess what? I've arranged for you to be married tonight. I would have been like, dude, Gordon Ramsay, what the hell are you doing, man? You can't spring that on us. So they get married right then. And I'm like... This is Gordon Ramsay as Life Fixer, Dr. Phil.
Are we combining shows now?
But it's just funny how they do that. And I was like,
I blame the production company. He needs to take a step back and go, okay, what are they doing to my image?
Well, this was like three episodes into it, and all of them have felt really rushed and sloppy. And not that the season one was great or anything, but they went into more detail. But I almost think that they're like, hey, we're picked up for another season. We don't have to try so hard anymore, do we? It feels really rushed and sloppy.
It does.
Maybe Gordon Ramsay
He goes in, he finds a little mess, he cleans up.
Well, the guy only has so much time. I mean, he just finished, I think, season four of the F Word over in the U.K., which goes, I think, 13 episodes over there, and he's got Kitchen Nightmares here. He's got 13 restaurants, I think, around the world. I mean, the guy probably hardly ever sees his family. he's probably a very, very busy man.
He even said that he's busting his ass in
New York. Yeah, and they rush the episodes.
Right, and so, anyway, that episode, great, whatever. You know, I just like, whatever. Throwaway episode. Maybe that's why they aired it the same night as another episode. But this episode had what you wanted. It had conflict. It had an asshole running the place.
Three. But even it was rushed and didn't really have a resolution.
No, it didn't. But it had this guy. God, I'm trying to remember the guy's name.
David.
Yeah, David, who...
David the douchebag.
He knew everything. And he walks in with these sunglasses, you know. Are you hands-on or hands-off on her? He's like, I'm very hands-on. But
hands on you. Gordy. Gordy.
We'll get to that later, but God, I love that. He's like, Gordy. Like, you just call me Gordy? But anyway, here's the first thing. He, you know, orders some food or whatever. He always tastes the food and says it's crap. And he always watches the first service, right? And he kind of has this argument with David about if it's Maine lobster. Okay? Let's check this out.
When was the last time you expedited?
All the time I'm back there.
You're not really back there as much as were back there tonight.
No, I've never, because it's never been that. We've never had the whole line up, the whole line with tickets. Ever.
David, can you stop being a slippery eel for 15 minutes in front of your team?
Slippery eel.
And answer the truth.
Gordon, the truth is that I'm back there when it's busy every night that I work.
David.
Yeah.
You tell me about the passion with the Maine lobster. Are you aware that the lobsters in your fridge are Canadian?
Same waters, North Atlantic waters.
You're telling me now a Canadian lobster, half the price of a Maine lobster, is the same taste and flavor? There's a big difference. I can't get Maine lobsters.
That's right, so they get them from Canada.
I'm using Canadian lobsters.
That's right, that's what they do. But,
I don't advertise them as Maine.
Tell me, is it a different animal?
Maine is a Canadian lobster for you.
Amartus americanus, same animal, right?
Holy.
I'm asking you a question.
What you're trying to dictate to me is that you're selling Maine lobster. They're not from Maine.
Well, it comes from the same vendor.
Holy. The award-winning Maine lobster roll is Canadian.
He was wrong about the lobster issues. It pissed me off. I thought that was a bit unfair for him to take that stand, especially since he was incorrect about it.
Incredible.
Christ! Hurts my ears. Damn it. So what do you think of David after that clip, Bill?
Well, he's still an asshole, and I think Ramsey was exaggerating. It all depends. I mean, Maine borders on Canada. Any eggs that are hatched in Nova Scotia are going to be born, mature in Maine because of, the water movement. But I think the main thing is it's illegal advertising. It's false advertising.
Yeah, I think he just wanted.
I don't think
that
there's any real big difference in taste.
Right.
But it's just the fact that what they're doing is illegal.
He wouldn't have given the guy a hard
time. You can't say Maine lobster when it's from Canada.
If the guy would have said, yeah, I know, but still, we're just kind of. He would have owned up to it. But instead, he was like, no, I don't understand.
Yeah, he had to be arrogant. Go, is there a difference?
But. They even show
they're
like
the
during,
same animal
during the employee meeting. He even has employees ask him questions. He still doesn't answer, and he's confrontational. Let's check that out.
Okay, David, why haven't we got aprons?
They know where the aprons are. They just don't choose to wear them.
But why can't you say it's policy to be in an apron?
Kat, it's policy for you not to have a drink here after your shift, but you often do.
Oh.
Why can't you ask my question without a question?
I did answer your question.
You did? That is quintessential David. He'll answer you with the question. So to communicate with him can be very frustrating.
No, show the girl some respect, will you? You're great at beating around the bush, you know that?
Is this Born Identity music?
In front of everybody, why can't you answer the question?
Should see a secret agent in the background.
But I did answer
around.
The question.
Rather try and be such a smart ass and answer one other question.
Answer the question.
Do you know what I've just discovered? You're so full of you'd make a great politician, you know that.
David has the biggest ego. He's very stubborn. And obviously you're not doing everything correct. So get over yourself.
I love that
way
to help
you.
Incredible. I'm surprised you've got anybody working for you.
Jesus Christ! Aren't they going a little overboard with that?
Yeah, it's slightly annoying.
Now, okay, they do the... He always changes the menu, right? He makes it better. My favorite thing is he added that cool lobster claw machine where you could win a free lobster.
Yeah, that was just mildly tacky. You would think that if that was in there before he got there, he'd be like, what the hell is this?
What happens
get this
if
out of here.
Like, what happens if someone's messing with that and they pull the lobster's claw off and it just is, like, floating in there dead?
It decapitates the lobster.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would happen, but...
But it was donated by somebody, and there's just...
And then all the other lobsters eat the lobster, and they turn into crazy cannibal lobsters, and then break out and kill everyone in the restaurant.
So, basically, the place has three owners, and two of them decided they'll let the new guy... Remember they said at the beginning, is... We didn't want to put any of our own money into it, so we found an outside source, and he would put into that so we could expand kind of thing. And this guy who came in, the third partner, he's the one who wants to run things. And anyway, he does, and everything's shaky. Nothing's, it's the same thing. People like, oh, this is cold in the middle. Oh, okay, let's take it back. Hey, this is cold in the middle. What do you mean it's cold in the middle? Okay, take it back. Oh, this is really good. It's just the same stuff over and over again, right? So anyway, at the very end, this is like the weird ambivalent endings to Kitchen Nightmares now, I guess they have, where he kind of talks about, he basically says the only way this place will succeed is if you cut this David guy out and just get rid of him. So let's see what happens. I love it. He calls him Gordy.
Whilst you've got the hunger and the passion, I don't think your two partners actually give a damn.
Whoa.
You are an honest individual. You're here 2 days a week. But you don't put the effort in. You amaze me.
What?
Because all week long,
whoa,
face to
Mike.
Face, you pretend to care.
Oh, Gordon, come on.
You don't give two about this place.
Really?
You're not passionate about running a restaurant.
Really?
You're just abusing it and using it.
What did I do?
I've never met an individual that's so full of all my life.
How have I been lying to you, Gordy? How? Tell me.
Gordy?
Yeah, how? You want to disrespect me? I can disrespect you.
Gordy. Isn't there a movie
you
named Gordy about a pig?
I'm telling you the truth.
No, you disrespect me because you don't know the truth.
You're just massaging your ego.
Gordon,
what do you mean?
I love it. You're massaging your
from
ego.
From the first minute you walked in this door, standing there with your big long coat and your sunglasses, looking like proud. That was it. First impressions. Then you start debating lobsters because you think you're some smart ass in the back of a few dive books. Are you aware that the lobsters in your fridge are Canadian?
Humartus Americanus, same animal, right?
Humanus Americanus, my arsus. With 21 rations under my belt, I work my ass off.
So what?
I know.
So I never take anything for granted.
Fascinating, Gordon.
You treat the staff like you amaze me.
Never did that.
Excuse me?
Never.
Pat, it's policy for you not to have a drink here after your shift, but you often do.
Never.
You can't even be honest with yourself, let alone me. Mate, you've been exposed.
Oh, yeah, exposed.
You're a hypocrite.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For you, it's about a TV show. This man is about a restaurant. The TV, David. And I mean it. This is real for me. And for you, it's an image.
I disagree with you on almost everything you said.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Why do you disagree?
Because you're wrong. The great thing is wrong.
You're a sad My advice is for him to get his partners, get your money out, yeah, and disappear.
Yeah, all right, well, my advice would be for you to disappear,
new
and
identity?
The sooner the better.
You don't get it, do you?
You, Gordon, of course I get it.
This restaurant has every chance of succeeding. But not why you are in it. Because you're not passionate. You're soulless.
Say what you like. Let me get out of here.
You're ungrateful. And you know what really hurts? The amount of effort that's gone into it.
Despite what a you've been to me, I'm still grateful that you were here. I love what you've done.
This guy is
I think that the menu is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like it. I don't really like the, I don't like the shrimp thing either.
It's what happens when I've gone.
We had a great coleslaw.
We had a great coleslaw.
We can go back on that. That's ridiculous.
The minute I'm out of that door, you'll slip back into
I'll
the
tell
old
you what. I'll tell
lazy
you what.
Ways.
Why don't you come back in, and, you know, I'm sure you will, and see how it goes.
Yeah. Time will tell.
I guess it will. Thanks again, Gordon.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Over the top, man.
Wow. I think a tornado came through. And then Chewy.
A little over the top, Fox, all right?
Wookiees love lobster.
Yeah, so I don't know.
You can't get them on Kashyyyk.
It's the kind of thing we got to keep watching it, right? But it's not a great show at all. There's nothing much to it. And, in fact, yeah. It's almost like the producers of the show are like, God, I hope somebody's a prick
like,
at this
like
restaurant.
Like Bill has said before, and I think I have too, that the British version, much better.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know, Bill mentioned it, so I had to watch it, and I do. I like it a lot better.
Honestly, it's not as bad as it looks.
Kitchen Nightmares makes me want to vomit while I'm watching that show, because, oh, look at that, it's all rotten, and I'm just like, oh. First of all, they've showed, like, two Kitchen Nightmares this week. They showed two last week. Is Fox trying
Why are they
to burn these off?
Off?
Are they trying to burn these off as quick as possible?
I don't know. Maybe it was because they're trying to catch up with the season debate. Because of the World Series and stuff.
Right. My favorite episode last week was the fishing restaurant with the boat like crashed into it or whatever.
Yeah, Jack's. I've actually been there.
Jack's Seafood. Really?
When I lived in Michigan.
it wasn't run by those bodybuilder guys, but I've been to that restaurant.
My favorite, that guy, the bodybuilder, just stare at people. He makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's so funny.
But how many, the story to all these restaurants when they're unsuccessful is they don't have fresh food.
It's not fresh food and poor management.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Incompetent management.
And, okay, first of all, Sabatello's. I don't know if you guys watched both episodes, did you?
Not this
Sabatello's.
Yeah, I did.
I saw the Mexican restaurant.
Well, just listen to this clip. This Italian guy, he's obviously been very successful in the past. They even kind of did a description of him of how much money he's made. He's a successful restaurant, so he opens Sabatello's, but it's just not working out, and it's the food. The food's not right. When Gordon Ramsay walks up, he goes, "Wow, this is a nice place." How many times does he walk into a place, he looks at the dining room, he's like, "Wow, this looks excellent.
I don't have to change anything
here. The kitchen's clean, the dining room is nice and warm."
And so, obviously, he goes, "Well, it must be the food. Let's try it out." Because he knows, okay, it's not the way the place looks. And here's when the guy is introducing Gordon to the appetizers.
"My food is good. My food is very good.
So, what would you recommend for lunch?"
"My lasagna is homemade."
"All this is fresh, right?"
"Yes, everything else is fresh. If it's not fresh, we don't sell it."
Liar.
"It's a wedding soup. It consists of vegetables and little mini meatballs. It's really nice. Actually, the best balls in town. It's awesome. People love it."
"Huh? Okay. Well, that was quick.
Best meatballs."
That's what she said.
Lovely. Was that a cicada in the background? Cicada?
"It's hideous. Like a mishmash of bits of put together and brought to the boil, and anemic grey meatballs in there."
Anemic meatballs.
"Yeah. That's the wedding suit?"
"That's to get him in the mood to get married.
I'd rather get divorced."
"Oh, my God."
So, yeah, bombed. And, okay, Kitchen Nightmares producers, what is this sound? They play
You're
it like...
right, that's cicadas.
They play it 100 times on whenever he's like, "Hey, it's, I got great balls."
Whoever controls the soundboard on the editing needs to have their fingers cut off.
Definitely.
They just put way too many sound effects, way too much music, way too many cues. It's ridiculous.
It's not even that it's too much music. It's too loud of music.
And what's interesting about this episode is he didn't really need to fix anything. He told them to clean up a little bit because they had a drawer of old food. But it was all about the chef sucking at his job and not caring and having to get him to care a little bit. It didn't even seem like they improved it that much. The guy just had a successful dinner service, and they played the happy music at the end.
Well, no, Chef Ramsay did the come to Jesus meeting where he projected the guy's past and his dead brother and all the things that got him emotional. It was like, "Oh, I don't know what I've been doing.
Simplified the menu a bit." And
you just nailed the three things. People don't care.
Yeah.
Many items.
How many times have you seen the narrator goes, "The chef has now found his passion again"? You're like, "What? No, he hasn't. Come on." Like, minutes have passed.
He found it in the drawer with the rotten chicken.
"I learned to cook again, thanks to Gordon." But, I do think Gordon's a great guy and he's always doing good stuff, but sometimes it seems rushed. And I think the last 2 weeks' episodes were better. I love the Jay Willies episode.
That was incredibly painful.
Now, okay, let's cut to...
Anytime an episode involves white trash, it's good.
I know. The guy looks like he smoked like 2 packs a day for 30 years or something.
Well, the Mexican
I thought
restaurant
he actually slept in a smoke tube.
He sleeps in an ashtray is what he looked like.
He sleeps in an ashtray.
You can tell the kind of people, like, you can just tell they smell like an ashtray. It's just like, oh,
these ashes are so soft. You should try this.
Is there anything worse, though, like a waitress or something?
It just reeks of smoke. How
you doing, honey?
You need a refill on there.
You know, it's funny. Tonight, I decided to get some Chinese before the show, and I'm waiting in my car outside the Chinese restaurant, and these two women walk out. And you can tell from, like, 15 feet away that they've smoked their entire lives. And they walk past the car, and I have the moonroof open because it's a nice, cool night. And then it's just that stench of
stale
perfume
cigarettes.
And cigarettes.
There's nothing worse,
And I've smelt that before in almost every white trash household I've been in. And I was, like, flashing back to my childhood whenever I'd go over to my neighbor's house. It was just like, oh my God, get me out of here.
It, you know, it's disturbing when it's like a 70-year-old lady and she just reeks. It's like, come on, like, you're in your 70s, you couldn't lick the smoking thing yet. Best.
Again, I live in a pretty, you know, it's, I live in the country, okay? And you go down the road a couple miles to this, there's a grocery store and there's a Chinese restaurant and there's a Subway. And I'm sitting there, and another, this old lady, she's got to be in her early 80s. She gets out of her car. She has the cigarette just hanging out of her mouth, like it's like stuck to her lip. And she's coughing and hacking and waddling into this Chinese restaurant, and she still has the cigarette in her mouth. And it's just like, what are you doing to yourself? Why? Oh my Why God. Do that? Why become the cliche?
Yeah. It's not good for you, people.
Well, it's when they're driving. They're the ones, the same ones, with the windows rolled all the way up. This smoke is stays in.
Well, they have to enjoy that. They have to savor that. They don't want to lose any of that nicotine.
That's awesome.
Okay, let's talk about Fiesta Sunrise. It's a Mexican restaurant.
That's a terrific movie. Sequel to Tequila Sunrise.
Yes, the sequel to Before Sunrise with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy.
And After Sunset.
And Kurt Russell and Mel Gibson and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Where they meet up in Tijuana.
Now, okay, this, I don't care what Gordon Ramsay has done to this restaurant after the show's over. I will never eat that place.
No, never.
There are roaches. First of all, if you see roaches in a kitchen, not going to eat there.
No.
And God knows, I've probably eaten in a lot of places I just didn't know.
Right.
So here's a good part. This is quite a long clip, just because I didn't know where to stop, because it just gets worse and worse when Gordon Ramsay starts to go. He starts to go through a kitchen and go through stuff, and everything gets worse and worse and worse. And first of all, the funniest thing.
Everything was put there Friday.
Yeah, just yesterday. Yesterday.
Friday.
Come on, not
Friday. No, Sunday. Friday.
Okay, last Friday. He goes Friday, but the best thing is they have that free jug of margarita that you can stand
there.
That's
like a World War II thermos.
You can stand there and just get drunk, and then by the time you sit down, you don't realize how bad the food is. But let's
just check
this out.
I loved after he drank it, he's like, whoo, oh, that'll put some hair on your balls.
Well, let's check this out.
When were these done?
Yesterday.
Yesterday? Oh, thank you. Please. They weren't done yesterday. Okay.
You can ask him his damn cicadas ask everywhere.
You got cicadas in you. You're infested with cicadas.
Last week. Of course they're from last week. They don't
they're
like
eating all the roaches.
That would be cool.
Oh, my God. Look at the fat. Look.
That was nasty.
Look
was like,
how fat you are.
It was a hamburger gross meat with a stack of fat, dried fat on it.
Yeah, that was gross. And then
no, that was liquid fat. That was just sitting on top of the meat.
He took them from the table back into the drawer.
Oh, yeah.
Dump the chips back.
These chips taste bad. So he goes to dump them back in the drawer.
Yeah, the little girl goes, this chip tastes like cardboard.
You're not supposed
to. Yeah, how often does a little girl complain about the food?
It's not my day. 5
She's never
old.
Been to CC's Pizza.
I found them in the
place
fridge.
Rocks.
Smell them. What is that? I'm getting nervous now. Talk to me. What is this?
That's the fish we're using.
That's the fish you're using.
In the
that slimy fish.
It's not that in there.
And he's
it's
like,
hard. It's curled up. It's dried
puts
out.
It all over his fingers.
No. The
that's
fish.
The chicken.
Was really scary
he could have said it was salted cod. It's bacalao.
When he discovers the roaches, though, I started getting nauseous.
Look how crispy and curled up it is. Just touch that.
Oh, it's like solidified.
What's this here?
This is steak tip.
Why is it all wrapped up in tinfoil? Look at the color of it. It's oxidized. And what's that in there?
It's a pork.
That's pork. What have you done to it? Why is it all stuck in there with blood at the bottom of the tray. What
oh,
is that?
Blood.
Oh, my God. When's all this from?
Friday. They took it out Friday.
Friday.
Everything's Friday. Look how green and slimy it is. That's from Friday. Look. Look at that.
Listen to that
That's
sound.
From Friday. Look at my fingers. Friday.
Oh, I'm getting
it
nauseous again.
Like he just Look. Opened like the egg of a face hooker. It was
How
so
do you say
slimy.
This in Spanish, this is not healthy.
No muy saludable.
Thank you.
Oh, this is not healthy. How do you say this is not healthy in Spain?
A hungry cat would walk away from that.
A hungry cat would
walk. What's that one?
The chicken of enchiladas.
Oh, that thing of burritos was so nasty.
Oh, that was so nasty.
What's that?
Because I probably would have ordered a burrito there.
All the meat stuffings for the burritos and the enchiladas.
I love that. It's fatter than you.
Yeah, that meat, the ground meat that he's got in there, and it's got a layer of fat on top of it that's thicker than the meat.
It's like a cement mixer. Are you stupid?
I honestly think that the manager of that place was mentally slow.
He never reacted to anything. He just kind of...
Now I'm feeling like stupid.
Now I'm feeling stupid.
He's like,
is it Pedro from the Bully Dynamite?
I wasn't here on Saturday, but what were they expecting?
My head got hot, so I shaved it.
They had this trash can. It was a trash can full of beans.
It was a gigantic gray. It's like that sort of trash can you take out on trash day.
Yeah.
And he was like, are you serving an army with this? What?
I love this part.
Because you're serving that and trying to charge people money for that. That's why you don't care.
I care for this.
You don't care. No way. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sorry, but we're stopping service.
He puts the trash can full of beans there, and
he breaks that friggin' table.
Breaks the table,
and people are like,
"I love the guy's eating in the middle eating." He goes, "Sir, put that there now. You would not want to eat it if you saw where it came from."
And I love as they're leaving, they're looking at the beans, and this girl goes, "Gross! It's in a trash can." Dude, I honestly would have walked out in the parking lot and been like,
"I would have made it to there.
Actually, it would have taught him a lesson. I would have thrown up in the restaurant, and it would have started a chain reaction.
When I was a kid, I didn't realize it, but I started suffering from panic attacks at a really early age. And every time we would go out to eat when I was young, I would have to throw up. I'd eat until I was full and my stomach hurt, and then I'd have a panic attack, and I'd have to throw up. So my sister would have to take me into the bathroom. And one time we were at Red Lobster, and... I lost it right in the lobby, about 10 feet from the door to the bathroom, and I think everyone that was waiting for a table left.
Oh my god!
So I've been there.
Bill, that's horrible. I'm sorry you went through that.
It was very traumatic at a young age. Yeah, my parents never wanted to go out to eat with me because I would throw up.
Oh my god.
One time, I even got nervous because it started to happen. I'd even get nervous and throw up before we went into the restaurant.
Holy shit.
So one time, one of my sister's graduations from high school. We're going to this Chinese restaurant, and as we're going in, I throw up on the sidewalk. And as we're coming out, there's this poor, small, fragile Chinese guy cleaning up the vomit from whenever I went in.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's
damn
bad.
Bill.
That's for my shrink.
Wow. Well, luckily,
I don't know why I just shared that, but there, a little insight into Bill.
Well, I'm glad you don't have to go through that anymore.
Yeah.
You can go to restaurants now, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, okay.
Now I just worry about people looking at me because I'm a fat ass stuffing my face.
No. Bill, when you come down here, we're going out to every restaurant that I know. That's
I'll scare people. Like, oh, my God. You know I eat here. You eat everything.
One thing, when you watch Kitchen Nightmares, if you've ever gone to a restaurant, and this has happened to me before, I immediately have to rush home and you have diarrhea. That's because you've been food poisoned, right?
Definitely.
You haven't gotten full.
Yeah,
food poisoning.
That's the first hit.
Yeah, I remember when Emma was very young, we all ate at this place called Chicken Express.
Sounds dangerous.
It's all chicken tenders and gravy, like white country gravy. The whole family got sick. Emma was puking like every hour on the hour.
puke is chicken severe.
Chicken is particularly dangerous because of salmonella. That can be some of the worst food poisoning you'll ever have. Yeah. You know, first you get nauseous, and then after you get nauseous, you get the chills.
Right.
You almost you get a fever.
And it was like you could time it. You would puke
every 15 minutes.
Yeah, just every exactly just like that because your body's just like in waves. It was the worst week of her life. Definitely it was the most stressful week for us, and I wanted to burn that place to the ground.
Yeah, one time I got salmonella food poisoning from a restaurant, and it was quite possibly the worst 2 days of my life. Like, the chills and the fever and the headache was so bad, I couldn't get enough blankets on top of me, and I literally started to weep because I felt so miserable. It was just I don't wish that on anybody, even Von Jansen.
Food
I don't wish that
sucks.
On anyone.
Yeah, we've had some of our guys got food poisoning real severe it had even been admitted into the ER for being dehydrated from
You have to be really careful with that. You have to drink a ton of liquid.
And another thing when that happens, when that happens, it's your duty to report the restaurant because it'll just happen to more people.
Oh, it absolutely is.
And just remember this in Spanish.
No muy saludable.
It's not healthy.
Does she even speak Spanish? It sounds like it. Just she's Spanish, obviously, but her delivery of that sounds like.
What did she say there? Listen.
No muy saludable.
No muy saludable.
It's like abracadabra. What? No muy saludable. Yeah, she made that up. She doesn't know Spanish. Good Lord.
Actually, the best balls in town. It's awesome.
Now, what do you guys say? Which wins out, the whale or the cicada? Which do you think's better?
John Cicada.
I'm gonna go cicada. What do you think?
Yeah, I like the cicada better.
No, mentioning the cicada, we got to go to Kitchen Nightmares, right?
Yeah, double episode.
Gordon Ramsay, he's in L.A., and there's this lovely – it wasn't a vegan restaurant. It was healthy
food. Natural food.
And what was with the guy's grass that he had growing, like, around places?
Yeah, it was gross.
But there was this funny clip where Gordon Ramsay was going through his freezer, and he goes, what is this, duck? And he goes, let's unduck.
Unduck, unfish.
What is that?
Almost got in altogether. Unduck. It's duck, but it unduck. It's fake duck.
Fake duck. So you call it what?
We call it unduck.
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 Okay. Right now, I feel like I'm getting completely. Is that popular?
Yeah, it is. Actually, a lot of people ask for that too.
Oh, the unduck.
Unduck.
Duck.
That's fake fish.
Fake fish.
And it looks like fish and tastes like fish, and it's got seaweed on the outside. We have everything that's on.
This is incredible. So far, I've had unduck, unfish, and unbelievable. What a mess.
That was a little obvious there, Gordon. Are you going to say that?
Set that one up and knocked it out of the park.
Awesome. So
this place was particularly just crazy in general. The gay hostess.
Oh, I love that guy. The guy was
Mark. I lost it. When Gordon went to the mini mart and bought him secret deodorant.
Oh, because he kept sweating all over everything.
Yeah. Well, that's because he was a big queer.
Well, I knew we were.
I don't use deodorant.
Well, I knew we were. Did he say that?
Made
for
a woman.
God.
He said he didn't use deodorant. Like it.
I didn't realize that. But when they first introduced him and he said this.
I'll be the hostess. So I'm the best hostess.
I was like, oh, man, we're in for it
here
now.
We go.
I'm the best hostess.
We're on the gay train.
But basically the owner's problem is he lets everyone walk all over him. He's got his sons. The chef guy is a total prima donna, I guess.
Can that guy even be called a chef?
No, I don't know. He's just a friend who... He knows.
Kind of knows how to cook.
But I remember last season there was one where Gordon took this kid who was running a restaurant and his mom was always over him yapping at him and his dad was dead. And He didn't really want to do it. So Gordon took him boxing. He's like, you got to work out all this aggression. So start hitting. And the guy's hitting the punching bag. And while he's hitting it, it shows like flashes of his mom and his dead dad. Like he's working out his demons. So
I'm going to beat your ass, dead dad.
So he takes this guy to the Hollywood Hills. And he says, we're going to just, you know, shout at the world. Tell me what you want to tell these people. And let's check this out.
We're now standing on the top of the canyon. Nobody, yeah, can hear us. So what I want you to do is let it out. Let's start off with Mark first, yeah? What have you got to say to him?
Get the f*** out of my life. I don't want you around.
That's it. That's how you tell stuff. Pathetic. Here we go. Mark, understand that you're here to run the restaurant, yeah? Not to run crap up my walls. Start listening to me now, Chef Aurelio. If you ever leave my kitchen that state again, look for a new job, you little Aurelio.
Why? What? What's going on with you? Didn't I tell you to go ahead and clean the refrigerator?
It's not difficult. It's business. You have to get
this guy really blows at this, doesn't he?
Too much music.
I know.
Face to face that you are
going to hardly even hear them because of the music.
Take control. I've got to hear you.
It is hard for me to let go, but you know, I have to take Chef Ramsay's advice.
Fuck! They're not being chased by a Cloverfield monster.
No more.
Oh, wait, that didn't have any music in it.
Whatever it is that you bring, no more feng shui. And don't put the mirror here. I want to put that there. Just do it for me this time, please.
Gordon's giving up. Good job.
Yeah, you're excellent. Terrific.
Give it to him, you limp.
Aurelio.
You should limp.
I know you for so long.
Get to him, limp dick.
I know your family. I was stupid enough one time, three times, four times, six times, 10 times.
You're getting incoherent now.
He's in charge of this.
Perfect, you're incoherent. Excellent.
Now, confuse them. Perfect, you make no sense at all.
Here we go.
If they don't understand you, then they're afraid.
Good.
Wow. I think Gordon gave up there, didn't he?
Wake up, you idiots!
He's saying, wake up, you idiots, but you can barely tell he's saying
it. Wake up, you idiots!
The only reason I know is because the other guy repeats him, and he says, wake up, you idiots. But it's like, what the hell? Well,
there are moments there that I think they're just bleeping stuff to bleep it.
Right. I think that, too.
There's just so much there, and it doesn't even – the bleeps don't make sense.
Give it to him, you limp.
Well, that makes sense, but...
So basically he goes back and he immediately jumps all over his son about something, and his son isn't upset. He's just like, oh, way to go, Dad.
Yeah.
But when he starts... I love when he starts messing with the chef, and the chef's like, I'll leave at any moment. See, I cannot
take this.
I don't need this shit. But the guy, Mark, who you guys remember is the hostess, right?
He's gay.
I'm the hostess. I'm the best hostess.
Oh.
He seems to... There's a part where the owner manhandles him. He grabs him. He's like, no, I tell you not take orders. And he pushes him in the back.
I think he actually liked that.
I would have been like, dude, okay, but don't manhandle me.
Do it on my butt next time.
He's like, don't manhandle me, all right? You know, I don't care what's going on. A boss should never touch someone like that.
Well, Gordon, tried to get him to open up and be more bossy, but then he just became an asshole.
You know, I almost look at it this. He's Dexter to Miguel Prado. The owner was like Miguel Prado. Gordon was Dexter, and he's like, sure, I'll let you kill this one guy. Just see what it's like. And then he created a monster. The guy's going through.
Shit hits the fan.
He's yelling at everybody. And the best part, they have the preview. Like, whenever Kitchen Nightmares goes to a commercial, it says, coming up, something you've never seen before. And it shows him getting put in handcuffs. Like, oh, my God, he's being arrested.
Right. Yeah, I saw that from a mile away.
And he's like, this officer is going to handcuff you so you won't get involved in anything in the kitchen. And that's all it is. He's not going to jail or anything.
It's so stupid.
Why are you tearing up? Why are you scared?
It's the stupidest thing ever. And this is the best one, though. Later on in the episode, it says, coming up. And it shows the chef leaving. He's like, I'm out of here. And they show him driving off in a car, and he goes, you will see something you've never seen before, or something like that. And what was the guy's name? Like Ariello or
Aurelio.
Something? Yeah.
Aurelio!
It shows Gordon going, Aurelio! And his car going, and I was like, holy shit, he's going to hit smack by a semi or something, right? He's going to die. No, that doesn't. Listen to this thing, how ridiculous this is.
Coming up.
What? What? What?
A crisis in the kitchen pushes Dean over the edge.
Vesta!
And Aurelio out,
of context.
Out the door.
Vesta!
You are not going to believe what happens next.
Aurelio!
On Kitchen
No!
The truck blows up. My God, they planted C4 in his car. It's like 24 all of a sudden.
The T-1000 just hit him with the Mack truck.
But for those of you who didn't see the episode, here's what happens. Aurelio turns around and goes, I'm going to apologize to Mr. Ramsey. Because I guess I want to apologize. And he's like, no, I need you to come back. And
I love the part, though, where Ramsey actually pays him the money to stay.
He goes, you owe me $140.
And he goes, I pay you half now, and you get the other half at the end of the show.
I love that. But the way that they do that, coming up, and nothing happened, and they showed him going, I'm getting really pissed off. He was giving an example of him getting pissed off. So that was out of context, too. The show's
gone up. He looked like a retarded Mel Gibson.
Give me back my son! Now, every day during the week, Kitchen Nightmares, Ramsey's Kitchen Nightmares comes on. We've talked about this so many times. Why can't they just do that? That formula, no music.
Because it's this production company here in the States.
They gotta have the stupid
Ace Smith
cicada rattle.
Yeah, they've gotta make it so incredibly overproduced and annoying.
And you know what? Gordon still comes through most of the time. Sometimes he gets way just overshadowed by everything, where you just can't hear anything anymore. You know what I mean? Like all the music and.
Well, it's actually kind of funny. I was, I think, in this past season of the F Word, his show he does over in the States. He's actually made comments like, "Okay, so over there is America. I don't want to go back there yet." Like, he just doesn't, I don't think he actually enjoys the show, he just does it for money.
It's gotta be it.
Yeah.
Because it feels like he's more involved in the British series.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely more involved in Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares, his show The F Word, where it's just all about cooking.
Does he do a British Hell's Kitchen?
He did one, and it was a celebrity thing. It was celebrities in the contest kind of Hell's Kitchen. He does a similar thing on the F Word, but not quite. He brings a celebrity into the restaurant, interviews them, then brings them back to the kitchen. They make a signature dish, basically anything that their mother taught them or something that they really enjoy or the best thing they think they can cook, and he makes his version of it. And then they serve it to a table at the restaurant without letting them know whose is whose.
Yeah, and, I've seen him do that before.
Yeah, and they do that with, they put a little twist on it with interviews.
You know, he has his bag of tricks that he always does, and
it
works most of the time if people are willing to